Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here is your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Thank you guys for joining us once again. It's a holiday season, and I know that during the holiday season, there can be a lot of depression, a lot of frustration. We're trying to get gifts. We're out there shopping. There's crowds. There's all those kind of things, including the fact that some of us are alone or some may have problems with family. And so this is a time of year that with the great joy of the holiday season also comes a lot of frustration and a lot of depression. And so one of the things that I would like to tell you guys out there, first of all, if you're a believer and you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, then really truthfully, just like I said last week, and I really want you guys to hear me, then try picking up that Bible of yours and getting on your knees and finding a body of believers, a healthy, well-balanced, Bible-believing church, and become part of that church and part of the kingdom, and you will find a family of God dwelling in that church. Just don't go and sit there and run out the door at the end, but really get involved in that church, because when you get involved with that, people interact with you, and these are good, godly people. It makes a world of difference to our attitude. And if you are alone, remember that not only did God say he would never leave you or forsake you, but the people within the church who become a family to you will also be there with you through the good times and the bad times and all those type of things. We pray every day, I pray every day, that I want to love God greater and deeper and with a better understanding. And I want him to take that that loneliness that we can all feel at times, that brokenness that we can all feel at times, and remind me once again that I belong to him. And you know what? I could just imagine the cradling arms of the Lord Jesus Christ or wrapping around me to comfort me and to remind me that, just like Micah, I have Micah here that I will introduce you to in just a second. We were talking about the fact that we are saved unto good works. We're not saved by our good works, but we're saved unto good works. And so when the chief end of man is to glorify God, one of the things that causes us depression is when we're living for ourselves and looking inside ourselves, always introspective and never looking towards the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth and all righteousness and to put us on a path that he has chosen for us. And so why would I want to be a pastor? Why do I want to be at the Union Gospel Mission? Because I want God to guide me in all things. And you know what? Why do we work to build the mission up to what it is? Because when the day comes that I'm not there, I want it to continue going on, not to my glory. You know, 2 years after I'm gone, I'm sure that only the staff probably will remember me, but that is not the important part. I don't want to be remembered by anybody. I want to be remembered by Christ. And you know what? If at the end of my time, the only thing people can remember about me is that, man, he sure did preach about Christ all the time. Amen. I'm good. We're good to go. So I have Micah with me. Micah, as we pointed out last week, is 22 years old. He's in the Army Reserves. He is the next generation of believers to carry that mantle of Christ into a hostile world, to pick up the sword, to put on the whole armor of God and march into battle. And, you know, sometimes it takes these guys to hold up, you know, for us older warriors, sometimes just like Moses, when the arms get too tired and the battle starts to be lost, they come alongside, lift up the arms, and the battle rages on in victory and not into defeat. And so, Micah, your father's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to his church?
Yes, I do.
And so, first of all, tell me what church it is. Yes, I know we talked about it last week, but the people may not have been here.
Yeah, it's called Calvary Grace, and it's located in Orangevale.
Right, great. And so how long has your dad been pastor out there?
So out, we started that church. We were planted by a church called Grace Bible Church Roseville about 6 years ago. They sent us out as a congregation. Good. And planted us. And yeah, we've been going ever since.
Now, along with you working at the mission, I have it on good authority your dad works.
Yes,
there.
He just recently started working there. Yeah.
Yeah. Most pastors, unless you have a very, very big congregation, a lot of pastors are bivocational pastors. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times a bivocational pastor, and I was one of those, had a secular job to support us while we're doing the ministry mm-hmm. position, which can be very, very difficult at times because it depends on where you work and those type of things. And I had myself left doing several things I did. I had been a commercial air conditioning guy, and I also worked as an insurance agent for a while I was pastoring a church. The obviously, the commercial air conditioning was for a very long time when I was young, and so I owned a business. But the reason that I bring that up is that when I had left there and I was actually building cabinets at my own house for a couple of places, and I was starting to make money again doing that, which I love working with wood, but the bottom line came down to that I stood out in the yard, no exaggeration, and said and asked God, "Hey, I'm only at church on Sunday and Wednesdays. And I need to be with people to tell them about Jesus, not stuck in the mountains here," which I love too. Mm-hmm. But there was something overriding all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, if you want me to go back into air conditioning, back into insurance, if you want me to be a janitor, I'll do whatever you want. If you want to send me to a bigger church, Lord, this time on the secular side of my life, I don't want it to be secular. I just want to serve you. Mm-hmm. You know, they called me to the mission 3 weeks later. Wow. To interview.
That's awesome.
So, you know, yeah. God works like that. Yeah. Sometimes. One thing I wanted to say before I ask a couple of questions of my dear friend here is when you're out there and you're praying and you don't get the answer you hear right away, are you discouraged by that? Do you think that God has forgotten you? So let me ask you a question, Michael. Micah, has God ever forgotten?
No, he remembers his people, right? And that's, I've been teaching through 1 Peter at the mission, which is really cool. It's really cool to get opportunities to teach there. And we're just going through the book of 1 Peter. And it's really cool. The first thing Peter in his book reminds suffering Christians of, he calls them elect exiles, meaning
right.
They're cast out. They're being hated for what they believe. And the first thing he reminds them is their position before God. He reminds them that you are justified and you're declared righteous. And so nothing can change that on earth. And so that's what you need to remember as you go through persecution, is your position before God. And not only that, is it's actually God who, in verse 5, he tells them, it's actually God who is guarding us through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. So what Peter, you know, wants his readers to know is that they can remember and rely on the fact that God has saved them and will never change that position, no matter what happens on earth. And that's the first thing he reminds them in order to encourage them to press on.
Yeah, and what is the oppression that we're facing today? We may be ridiculed and we may be jeered, and I'm sure that it'll probably get worse. Mm-hmm. Throughout history, Christians have had all kinds of persecution, and that's why in Hebrews 11 it says they were put to death by stoning, they were sawn in two, they were killed by the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And then it goes on to say, and the world was not worthy of them. Mm-hmm. So what does that really mean in context to us? What it means to us in context is that, yes, we will be persecuted. Yes, there will be times of hardship. Sometimes you will be praying for the relief that God can deliver, and you don't see that relief. but the end of the game has not come yet. And at the end of the darkness, the light will come. I have been beside a hospital bed with a woman dying of cancer, an older woman, and she was in agony. But you know what her desire was? For me to keep reading from the Word of God. Her teeth were clenched, and I asked her, "Do you want me to stop?" And she shook her head, "No, just keep reading the Word of God." She went home to be with the Lord, and that, of course, was a relief, but it was a testimony to her children that were there, and they were adults, by the way. It was a testimony to the love that she had and the faith that she had, that even in the midst of the pain and suffering, there was a new day coming and that Christ would wipe away every tear. But we can get impatient, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love at the end of Hebrews 11, it says, after, you know, saying how greatly they were persecuted, he then goes on to say, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." All right, so what he's saying there is that God has intentionally held off the glorification of his old prophets so that we too may share in that inheritance.
Amen. That's exactly right.
How great is it that God loves us also, you know, just as he did his people. And he's gonna glorify us with them.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, to your point about those things, we live in a society of instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get what we want right now, there's got to be something wrong.
Yeah.
God, I've prayed for this, and it's been 10 minutes. I'm going to take it into my own hands now and do it. Mm-hmm. How's that worked out for other people? Like, I don't know, Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and who took it upon himself to try to make God's prophecy happen.
Yeah.
And yet, had he waited in the proper fashion, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be suffering to this day from that action.
Mm-hmm.
I find it in myself, the impatience to get what I think I should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul David Tripp, in his little book, he wrote a book on suffering too. I don't know if you've ever read that, but he had talked about the fact that he had gone into a hospital, the emergency room. He had come back from a speaking engagement, and his doctor said, he told him, "I don't feel right."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, I don't think it's anything, but go to the emergency room and have it checked out." So he goes, right? He stops at Starbucks on the way, gets coffee, he and his wife, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he says, "Finally, I get to go into the doctor's office, and I'm in the doctor's room there, and all of a sudden, it's filled with doctors."
Wow.
And he said, "A few minutes later, I was in the greatest agony I'd ever been in."
Wow.
And what was happening, he was going into complete renal shutdown.
Wow.
And it was extremely painful. He is screaming for God's release. He's screaming for them to give him some kind of painkiller. And the nurse said, "We can't give it to you. We're trying to save your life."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, but did he came through that, and did he say to himself, "Well, see, God didn't deliver me in the moment of my need"?
Mm-hmm.
No, he wrote a book on suffering and what he learned from that.
Mm-hmm.
I read his daily devotional every day, New Morning Mercies. So, but you know, the Bible is replete
mm-hmm.
with people who patiently waited for that new day, right?
Yeah. One thing I love from 1 Peter is 1 Peter 1:6, he says, "In this you rejoice," pointing back to the salvation and the inheritance we have that God has granted us, right? "In this we rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." And so that's what Peter says there, is our trials are necessary, right? And so, and they're also in perspective of eternal life, there for a little while. And so that's an encouragement to these suffering Christians as well, is that these trials aren't going to last forever. You're going to be free of them eventually, and the inheritance that you have coming is far greater than the suffering that you have now.
Absolutely.
And that's what they need to be encouraged by.
And that's what delayed gratification is
mm-hmm.
all about. You know, do you want the temporal
mm-hmm.
or do you want the eternal?
Yeah.
And as you said in First Peter, 1, when it says, you know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, it pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, right there. That's all you need. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big problems today. When we don't see everything we want happening, we tend to think, oh, yeah, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Peter wants them to constantly be living with an eternal perspective, right? We don't belong in this earth. We have something greater coming, and we need to remember that reality as we live our lives on earth.
Yeah, I want it to be said that it's true of me that though I have not seen him, you love him. Though you did not see him, you believed in him and rejoiced with the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. And that's also from 1 Peter. And that's what I want for my life.
Yeah.
I want to know that no matter what is happening to me, that I have an inexpressible joy. You know, it is that peace that goes beyond all understanding. And why is it beyond all understanding?
Because it doesn't make sense to believe in the things that are happening now. Or that doesn't make sense. Like a person who doesn't have a eternal hope in God is going to have no hope at all. Because if your circumstances is what determines your happiness, then you're never going to be happy, and you're just going to live life depressed and not happy because you don't have anything better. But when you have Christ and the promise of that, then that is far greater than any bad circumstance.
That's right.
Because it's so much greater.
Right, and you know, there's a huge difference between joy and happiness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, John MacArthur said that happiness, coming from the word that we use, happenstance, as long as my circumstances are good, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But if we are in Christ Jesus, we have the joy of the Lord that goes beyond all understanding. It is, I am crying because my heart is broken over something, but I still have an inner joy and an inner peace that comes only from the Lord and can't be expressed by people who are not in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Because what did you just say about eternal hope? They don't have any eternal hope.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this is all you have, this is all you are ever wanting, well, yeah, I'd be pretty sad, too.
Yeah,
You know, I have preached a lot of sermons at the mission. I always used to tell those guys, if you're here tonight and you're a believer and things are really going horrible, understand, this is the only hell you're ever going to know. And then glory. But if you're out here tonight and you have no desire to serve God, come to God, this is all hokum to you, go out and have as good a time as you can, because this is the only heaven you're ever going to know, and then hell. And people say, well, isn't it a little harsh to tell those people that? Yeah, it is harsh, but guess what? I'd rather, if you're going to walk over a cliff and kill yourself, and you don't believe you're walking over a cliff, I'd just as soon throw you to the ground and make you hate me than have you walk over that cliff, right?
Yeah, I love the way Spurgeon said it. He said, if hell must be filled, at least let it be filled by the teeth of our exertions and us pleading people to not go. If people will go to hell, let them go over our dead bodies, right?
I think that's an excellent way to put that, because that's how we do. I mean, you know, I've often said to people, so if you're walking down a path, right, and you're blind, and I know you even, right, and you think you're on this path, and all of a sudden I see that a fissure has opened up in the ground, and there's a 150-foot drop to the rocks. Am I going to walk up to you and say, Micah, listen, there's rocks up there, and this path, you're going to fall in and kill yourself. And you say to me, look, I've walked this path, and even though I'm blind, I know where I'm going. Just leave me alone. And I go, okay, well, I don't want to offend him.
Yeah,
yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know who's going to be saved and not. So what do we do? We preach to everyone of salvation, right?
And I think that idea that at least of people don't even think they're blind, right? That's kind of where
they don't.
It starts is like they don't see the danger because they are blind, but they don't even think that they are blind. But Ephesians 2 tells us we are dead in our sins, right? There's nothing that we can do in order to get in right relationship with God because we love our sins so much and we are blinded, willfully blinded, according to Romans 1, by our sin. And so God must, intervene, and God does send people in order to preach the gospel so that people may see.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly correct because they are blind. Mm-hmm. And they, it's like how many people do you ever talk to that go, well, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you're an enemy of God. Well, I'm not an enemy of God. It's what the Bible says, And by the way, should we take the Bible? I mean, it's old. it was written 6,000 years by different men. Mm-hmm. Is it really applicable?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love, I've seen it in the lives of people at Union Gospel Mission how they read it and it affects them. And we see on a day-to-day basis of how they are changed, not by, just stopping their bad habits, not just by doing the right thing, but by meeting the person of Christ through his word.
Amen.
Right? God has revealed himself through his word, and through that, Christ is revealed, and that's what changes people.
Yep.
And that is a genuine change of, I never want to go back to my sins that I wanted before.
Not as a dog returns to its vomit.
Exactly.
Now, my deacon, Mike Murphy, told me many times, before he was raised in a church that, had the Bible and everything, but he wasn't saved. Mm. And I don't know about the people in the church, but the bottom line is he wasn't saved. Mm-hmm. And it never made sense to him. Mm-hmm. And when he came to salvation, it all of a sudden started to make sense to him.
Yeah,
don't misunderstand. If we're preaching a message or whatever, we're going to go to commentaries.
Yeah.
We're going to do all those things. We're going to study what the Greek or the Hebrew might say about it. Mm-hmm. But still, the basic understanding when we read the Bible has to be there. Oh, yeah. And you know what? I can read the same verse every time and get something different out of it. So, we only have a couple of minutes, Mike. Is there something particularly you'd like to tell them about the mission or about your church or anything?
Yeah, just I love going through 1 Peter with the program guys. It's been great. We've just been seeing how this constant reminder of our position before God is what is to motivate us to obey and to press on when trials come. And we see that in verses 1 through 13, it's all about what God has done for you and to you, and we're to remember that. But then in verse 13, he kind of switches to commanding us. Therefore, since God has done this, he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, so after seeing our salvation and after seeing what God has done for us, we should then set our hope fully on the grace of God. And that's what Peter, again, wants for these readers as they go through trials is to set their hope fully on God's grace because of what God has done for them.
Right. And we're a little bit out of time, but it also says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. You know what? We sometimes do.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Mike. And again, folks, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched, and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.